And we're live.
Welcome back to Catch Up with the AMSS.
I'm trying to find the script. Where's the script? Here we go. Oh, my goodness. How excellent was Med Footy?
Oh, the sun was shining.
It was a hot, well, not even that hot, but just an amazingly weathered day.
I know. And what's crazy is that, like, we had to do a bit of shuffling. Because obviously with the way that people get time off, like the years 1 to 3 get time off and everything, that has to be coordinated with the med school. We had to do a bit of shuffling where med footy was actually on the 7th for a little while, then we shuffled it back to the 30th of April. And then you look at the forecast for this coming week when it would have been, and it's raining every day this week and we would have been rained out again. So just like... so glad that it turned out the way that it did.
Yeah, maybe we should run med footy on like Jan the 2nd or something when it.
Jan the 2nd.
Guaranteed.
No, but that would be so hot.
It's just the way of the world.
Oh my God. Can you imagine playing footy? It'd be like playing rugby during med camp. But I'm always so surprised at, pleasantly surprised, I don't know, at how tiring med footy is sometimes because like, a very different type of fitness even to other stop-start sports.
I agree with that. I did not play any footy, but I did try and save some fake lives.
Yes. Yes. We're actually speaking to a champion over here.
Hello, it's me, Champion.
Champion fam. Care to tell us a little bit about how the AMC final went?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was captaining the AMSS team made up of 4 clean years, 2 pre-cleans, and everyone except myself had never done an EMC before, so we had no clue how it was going to go going into it. But
I didn't realize that it was like quite a new team.
It's a new team. We got into the final and we won the final, despite, and shout out Nathan Dignam for needle decompressing the wrong lung. So we gave a pneumothorax, we fix a pneumothorax, you know. You giveth, you taketh.
Giveth and taketh, the lesson that we taketh away from the EMC final. Mm. But that's pretty great. AMSS, and this is actually against, so for those of you who don't know, against other societies. So AUSS, Flinders Crit Care as well.
Flinders Crit Care.
As well as Adelaide Crit Care.
Yep, Adelaide Crit Care. And one more. Oh, it was a wild card team, actually. They got random 6th years on the day to join a team.
But, oh, yeah, that was.
But our final was against the Crit Care team. So I don't know if they maybe rigged it towards us because it looks pretty sus if Crit Care won their own event. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I don't know. I feel like the judges were being quite fair in the way that they did things, which is good.
Mm. And well, one of the judges was our EMC coach, so that's also biased towards us.
No, they would have taken things seriously the way they needed to. But it all, I mean, we had quite a few people that were watching, which was really good. I had a really fun time playing.
Great.
Got a few tackles in.
Anyway, we're rambling. So how do we want to start?
Welcome.
Is this for a little jingle?
Let's do some recording.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, isn't it?
With the AMSS.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting.
Test 1, 2.
AMSS
3.
Hi, Satch.
Hey, Wee. How you doing?
I'm going. Okay. We are planning on recording 2 episodes today because Satch is actually going away to Alice Springs soon. Technically, we should be recording 8, but I don't think you guys are getting 8 episodes.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. There might be some real short, really, really short episodes.
Bite size. We like bite size.
Bite size.
Anyway, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, we've got catching up on events as per usual. Then we'll have some Roam with the AMSS at Med Footy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then we've got our Ed Corner, which is on thyroid.
Yeah.
So super relevant for the second years that are doing the thyroid case at the moment.
True.
Yeah. True. And we should get into it.
Let's get into it. So the first thing that's kind of exciting this week is that Med Review are having our script this Wednesday.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. It's the first time the cast is coming together.
It's always very interesting doing the script read-through. No one's really settled into their roles yet, and you're kind of just reading off this thing you're seeing for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, sorry to keep bringing it back to you, Hui. Multi-talented. How did you feel when you first saw the script come to life for the med review that you helped run 2 years ago?
That was really fun. Because a lot of our script was us five sitting in a room laughing at our own jokes, and to see the cast actually enjoy it, or at least pretend to enjoy it, was also
no, it was so funny. And there's always like, it's always really funny because you read the script and, you know, it seems entertaining and it's great. But then when people actually say it and act it out and add their own spin into it, that's just when things start to come to life. And then you see that get better and better as it heads towards the show, where people add, you know, their own little improv in, act it out a little bit more, maybe a bit more confident. So
totally.
So excited for that. Then we've got on Friday our Into Your Debating.
Yeah, hopefully this episode goes out before Friday.
Yeah.
But we did mention it last episode as well.
Mm.
One thing that we can reveal is that that secret team that the All-Stars is competing against is going to be made up of old scholars.
Yeah, it's going to be super exciting. We've also going to have some alumni in for judging.
So lots of alumni.
Lots of alumni in the room. So hopefully the topics will be being revealed pretty soon this week. You guys are going to be able to see what's in store on Friday. It's also going to be food to enjoy while you're cackling at the banter. And then post-debates, we've got some good times in store for you at... The location's going to be unnamed just because it's still being confirmed. Things have been shuffled around a little bit, but... It's going to be great.
It's the way of the world.
Yes.
Anywho, last thing for catch up is the trivia night. So that's going to be the Friday after Into Your Debating.
Yep, 14th of May.
Run by the gender officers.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And at the Ambassadors, I assume it's a hotel.
Yes, hotel. Yeah, it's a hotel.
A cap of 70 people. So get your tables together, get your teams together, and put your trivia hats on.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Great prizes in store. And we've heard there's some really good questions as well. I think unique questions, because someone was talking about getting your, they were saying make sure that your coordination's intact. So I don't know what that means, but.
So game show vibes.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope they get, do you remember that old show, Hole in the Wall, where there's like a wall that moves towards the contestants and they have like these cutouts of different poses? And
no. Oh my God, what show was that?
It's called Hole in the Wall.
Sorry, what channel was that on?
I can't remember, it's probably Seven. But anyway, I hope that's there. And if it's not, I might be a little bit disappointed, but I'm sure the rest of the questions are going to be
fine. Mm, shout out to the initiative's funding process, which has allowed the gender officers to get a motor and
a moving wall.
And a moving wall. And with that, we're going to move on to Rome with the aim assess. So, have a listen to when we talk to you from MedFooty. And we've got Josh Clasm here with us.
G'day.
He did an amazing job commentating for us for most of the games today. How'd you find it?
Yeah, it was a real honour today, actually. I didn't know a lot of the players' names, but I thought that it was a great contest. All games were actually fantastic. And, yeah, I'd love to do it again.
Yeah?
It comes naturally for me.
And commentating comes really naturally to
me. Oh, God.
You've got to cut all this stuff.
No, it's fine. What was the favourite thing that you saw today? Worst and best moments.
Oh, I reckon there's a worst and a best moment in one. And that was the clinical years and the grand finals decision to throw the ball up to themselves, and which PK with a fair amount of but we won't mention that ever again.
I have no clue what was in Rome, but that's just the theme of Rome these days.
I think we might have a little feature from Josh in first year, who did an excellent job of commentating. He was really funny and got some great feedback about that.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. All right. Shall we head into Ed Corner?
Yeah, so Ed Corner today, cue the jingle.
What's the teaching on this cast?
Things you didn't learn in the past.
Pass them up to a real doctor.
We forgot to invite a real doctor.
It's probably because neither one of us asked.
We should probably actually get someone to fact check all this. It's a good rhyme though.
Disclaimer time.
We're students just like you.
The aim assess does not take responsibility for the educational content provided in this podcast.
Please do your own reading and learning for the topics that we discuss.
Thank you and enjoy Ed Corner.
Hello, we're back from the jingle. And
oh my god, we haven't done our sound today.
That is the new sound. We're going to cover thyroid. And thyroid in a very broad sense, so not focusing on neck lump as much. But things you can expect to hear today, we're going to have a quick look at the thyroid homeostasis and some quick notes on the HPT axis. Next, we're going to look at the clinical differences between hyper and hypothyroidism. And I feel like this is going to be a common theme throughout this episode where you might not know which word we're saying, but just go with the flow.
Go with the flow. We'll try to emphasize the like hyper and hypo as obviously as we can.
Should we just rename it? Like call it up thyroid and down
thyroid? Oh my God, maybe.
Okay. Anyway, after that, we're going to talk about Graves' disease specifically and how is it different in clinical presentation from normal up thyroidism? And then after that, we're going to go and run through some clinical cases so you guys can practice a little bit about how we work up thyroidism and down thyroidism.
And some principles of management.
Let's get into it. So, first thing, what is the thyroid?
Well, it's a weird bow tie for your skeleton.
So when your neck. When you wear a bow tie in real life, you actually have two bow ties on. That's a little known fact. Anyway, it shoots. So it's this little gland, essentially, that shoots out hormones that do a lot for the body. And in general, think about the thyroid hormone as revving up your body's natural processes.
Yeah. And a bit of clinically relevant anatomy here. When you're trying to feel for the thyroid, go for the Adam's apple. That's your thyroid cartilage. Go a little bit further down and you'll feel the top of the cricoid cartilage. And then just below that, the fleshy bit, that's the isthmus. And then to the sides, you'll feel the lobes of the thyroid. And so that one's really good for the thyroid exam, which you guys are doing at the moment.
I've never felt my own thyroid before. And I don't think I have one. I'm trying to feel
what
it right
now. What do you
mean? Now. I don't think I have one. It's not
Wait,
there.
I'm coming over.
No, that's okay. Anyway, keep going. Anyway, so we're saying thyroid hormone revs up your body. So think about it burning more gas. So it increases the metabolism of pretty much everything there. Increases your basal metabolic rate, your temperature. It's also involved with growth as well. It puts you into hyperdrive. Normally this is important, but when your body does it too much, then you can have upthyroidism or hyperthyroidism.
Yeah, so when we think about the thyroid, there's a few steps before the hormone's released, and this is important in the physiology, and then you apply it to the clinical context. So this is bread and butter for second years. As a clin year, it's important to know this because then it helps you differentiate between the primary, secondary, tertiary etiologies, and then that affects your management. So to quickly recap, all starts in your hypothalamus. This releases thyrotropin-releasing hormone, or TRH. Wait, what happens next?
Yeah, so TRH travels to the anterior pituitary gland, and you'll come across the anterior pituitary a lot throughout your medical school career, but it's kind of like the gatekeeper of hormones. A lot of the hormones that we talk about are actually regulated by the anterior pituitary.
Yeah.
But this gland then produces and releases thyroid-stimulating hormone, or TSH.
And like the name suggests, thyroid-stimulating hormone stimulates the thyroid to produce and release thyroid hormone.
And thyroid hormone has two main forms. So this is in the form of T3 and T4. These hormones then exhibit an effect on the body. So it's important to know in clinical context that T4 is much more abundant when it gets released by the thyroid, but then that gets converted to T3 by the cells of the body. So the reason why this is important is if you're testing levels of T3 and T4, those reference ranges are going to be different depending on the level of conversion and also where along that pathway we're looking at.
Yeah, so I've heard about the parathyroid. Is that the same?
No. So para being, it's probably Latin for next to thyroid, but they sit behind the bow tie, like little gems. So you got like a fancy bow tie and you have these three to four gems there.
The jeweled bow tie.
The jeweled, yeah. The secret. They interact somewhat with the thyroid hormone and the thyroid gland, but they have their own whole system, especially with calcium homeostasis and to do with the kidneys there.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll probably talk, we'll do an episode about something like that later on in the year when it becomes relevant for the third years. So clinical presentation, very important. So we said before that the thyroid is kind of avatar state-y. So
yeah, you know, it ramps up your body.
Ramps up your metabolic processes. But first things first, a neck lump can happen in both. So you can see a goiter in both hyper, so up thyroidism and down thyroidism.
Yeah.
So if you've got upthyroidism, sorry, too much thyroid hormone or too much for too long, what might you experience?
Yeah, so there's kind of a classical presentation you might see, but it's important to know that you won't get all of these at the same time, and each patient varies a lot. Yeah. A classic kind of presentation is fatigue or weakness, and you can actually get that with both.
Yep.
But besides that, you might see some sweating, restlessness, and then with the heart itself, you might get tachycardia, or in some cases, atrial fibrillation. Mm-hmm. So this is an arrhythmia of the heart that you might get with hyper or upthyroidism. Besides that, some classic findings you might get is heat intolerance. So these patients are always running really hot. So yeah, they're always chucking on the air con. They're dressing in layers so they can take things off. They also have an increased appetite, but despite the increased appetite, you might see weight loss instead. So this is all to do with that increased metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing relevant for women is that you might have menstrual irregularity as well. So prolonged periods.
Yeah. And really important to ask a good mood history in these circumstances as well. Some top differentials for thyroid conditions, especially because they themselves can also cause mood disturbances as well, is looking at things like anxiety, maybe mania as well for hyperthyroidism, and then looking at depression for hypothyroidism, downthyroidism, because I think I didn't say that one clearly enough. And
then we have downthyroidism in general. So what's the opposite of upthyroidism? So what's the clinical presentation of downthyroidism?
Yeah, so again, you can get fatigue, weakness, and this can be a predominating symptom. And then some other associated things you can get here is bradycardia. On physical exam, you can have some hung up reflexes. In terms of the skin and hair, you can have dry skin, coarse hair, and you sort of get that opposite to what we were talking about with being not very tolerant of cold weather. You can have a decreased appetite, but you can get weight gain despite this. And you can have some abnormal uterine bleeding as part of menstrual changes that you can get in hypothyroidism as well.
Yeah, and so you might hear that classically being called menorrhagia, even though these days we talk about AUB, but that's fifth year content. Next, we're going to talk about Graves' disease. So, Sach, do you know if it's Graves with an apostrophe before the S, or is it after the S, or is there no apostrophe?
I think it's after the S.
But it, like, is it named after someone? I assume it would be. I don't know. Anyway.
Like Graves's? Or is it like Grave?
Because it puts you in the grave. It doesn't actually. Graves' disease is very treatable. And
yes,
as far as I know, it doesn't actually decrease mortality. So don't say that in your OSCEs.
Yeah, please don't.
But Graves' disease is the most common cause of hyperthyroidism, especially in developing developed world. Yeah. And this is due to a process to do with autoimmune antibodies.
Yeah. And so when you're looking at autoimmune, it's important to consider as well that your family history of and personal history of autoimmune conditions can increase your risk as well. So thinking about type 1 diabetes, any joint autoimmune conditions, things like that can also come up in your histories. Then because of the fact that it's autoimmune, we can actually look for certain antibodies to diagnose it. So these antibodies will travel around the body, they'll bind to certain organs, and that results in extra signs and symptoms on top of the normal upthyroidism.
Yeah. And so these extra manifestations, if you see them in a patient, you're almost immediately thinking some kind of autoimmune antibody process that's affecting the thyroid. And so in particular, we look at two systems. The first one is the eyes, and you might hear terms like thyroid stare or exophthalmos, which looks like bulging eyes, and a general ophthalmopathy. So your eye movements aren't working that well. Mm-hmm. And you might also get a lid lag where as you move the pen or the hat pin around the patient's eyes, their lids actually lag a little bit.
Yeah. And then in the legs, you can get pre-tibial myxedema. So this can be localized lesions of the anterior leg. Clinically, it looks like red waxy skin with dimpling.
Yeah. It's kind of like a sunburn almost.
Yeah. And then other things that you can get in the hands can also be that thyroid acropathy, where you get the bone overgrowth in the nail beds, as well as onycholysis. So should we head to our clinical cases?
Let's do it.
Would you like to do the first case?
Okay.
All right.
So I didn't write these cases, so we'll see how we go.
We've got Jane, 32-year-old woman, presents with a 4-month history of fatigue. She's been finding it hard to stay engaged at work. She's been leaving work early to go home and rest, and she's had some low mood. something that's really been bothering her recently is that she's had this lack of appetite, but she's gained 4 kilos of weight in the last 2 months. And that combined with her feeling fatigued and that affecting her work has really been getting her down. She's not noticed any black tarry stools, but she has been going to the toilet less frequently. She's noticed that her periods are a bit heavier than usual. Doesn't have any chest pain or shortness of breath or anything like that. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, this podcast is about thyroid disease and it's very easy to tunnel vision to that. But the first thing to do is to think about the other differentials that could be causing this lady's presentation.
Yeah.
So in particular, I'm looking at the fatigue here and making sure I rule out anemia, depression, and in the context of anemia, which is relevant to one of our recent podcasts, think about how those menstrual cycles might actually be leading to blood loss or other clinical presentations there. But overall, the clinical picture in the context of this podcast might be leading us towards a diagnosis or a differential of hypothyroidism.
Yeah, so where would you want to go from here?
So I want to take some further history to explore the differential, especially in context of what could be causing the hypothyroidism, because it's not a diagnosis in itself. I'll do a bit of a mood history as well and then a clinical examination.
Yeah, great. What are some things you might find on something like a thyroid exam?
So there's a couple of things that you already mentioned in the history, but being intolerant to the cold, for example, you might see Jane wearing 5 winter coats on top of each other, always cranking on the heater as well, never being able to stay warm. She might have some obvious dry skin. She could have a goitis. That's one of the first things you look for in general inspection with a thyroid exam. And classically, you might see some alopecia, so loss of that lateral third of her eyebrow. Okay. And then in the script, it says, ah ha 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 ha. Lastly, you might see some periorbital edema, since it's swelling around the eyes, and some hung up reflexes.
Yeah, so what investigations would you want to do for someone who's presented with fatigue, considering thyroid, but also other fatigue causes as well?
So I'm going to start with bloods. And when you're looking at thyroid disease, you're looking at 3 sets of bloods. So the first one's your basic bloods, like your complete blood exam. And this might help me rule out anemia, for example, or actually show me anemia on top of the thyroid. Second, I'm going to be looking at my classic thyroid markers. So this is your T3, like I said before, your T4, and maybe also your TSH. And lastly, I'm going to be looking at my antibodies. Okay, so we're going to run through those quite quickly. Do you have any questions for me, Satch?
I just feel bad because I feel like I'm just quizzing you nonstop. So what would you see if this patient, say, had Hashimoto's thyroiditis? What would you see on the thyroid function test?
Yeah, so Hashimoto's thyroiditis is typically a hypo picture, so down thyroidism. That's less circulating thyroid hormone, so I might see a low T4 and also a low T3. Since it's primary, the thyroid itself is not producing enough hormone. So the body is freaking out and trying to stimulate more thyroid hormone release. So what we actually see is an increase of TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone. But despite this, we're still having a low actual thyroid hormone.
Yeah. So basically that function's not working. So you're getting a high TSH and a low T4. Whereas if you had a low TSH and a low T4, you'd be seeing a secondary hypothyroidism. So that's where that physiology that we talked about before comes in handy, because you're going a step up because the problem is the step above the thyroid. So pretty much you've got faulty low TSH levels being the reason why you've got a low T4, not the thyroid itself.
In secondary.
Yeah, in the secondary, yeah.
And on that note, in tertiary, you have low TRH. So that's from the level of the hypothalamus itself.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I mentioned a little bit about autoantibodies before, so quickly chat through that. In Hashimoto's disease, you might see thyroid peroxidase antibodies. These are commonly called TPO. This isn't specific to Hashimoto's or even down thyroidism, but it at least gives you an indication that an autoimmune condition is underfoot.
Yes. So the more specific antibody for Hashimoto's itself is thyroglobulin antibody, or TG antibody. So if you wanted to summarize what you'd see for autoantibodies for this case?
Yep. So increased TPO and TG, and for the thyroid function test, low T3, low T4, and a high TSH.
Great. Any other investigations you'd consider doing?
Yeah, so besides bloods, in thyroid conditions, you're also thinking about two broad categories. So one is imaging of the thyroid, and the next one is biopsy of the thyroid. In this case, you could do an ultrasound of the thyroid with Doppler. So Doppler is just looking at the blood flow into that thyroid. And if you palpate any nodules, you might want to do a nuclear medicine scan or even do a biopsy, a fine needle aspirate of that lump, just in case it could be some kind of malignancy there.
Yeah, great. So let's do case two, a bit more of a quick fire one this time.
Yeah. So we have Grace, who is a 37-year-old teacher. She's been anxious, she's been sweaty, a bit hot all the time, also hungry all the time, but is losing a lot of weight. This is a very classic case. She's had some diarrhea and she's feeling funny heartbeats, quote unquote. Her students have been worried about her because they're saying her eyes have been bleeding out.
All right, well, you know, once again, not tunnel visioning. We've got to think about those other differentials. She is presenting with fatigue. So once again, thinking about things like anemia and other things like anxiety, because she has specifically mentioned that as well. So exploring that further. But I think with the AF, the textbook presentation of exophthalmos, we might be looking at Graves' disease. So I think Grace might have Graves' disease.
Ding, ding, ding. So what would you find on thyroid function test for this patient?
Yeah, so here we're looking at a overactive thyroid. So looking at a high T4, and then your body's like, oh my God, the T4 is too high. We need to try and make the thyroid produce less. So there's low TSH levels, but despite the low TSH, you've still got that high T4.
Great. And any other investigations or bloods you're considering here?
Yeah, so once again, because Graves is autoimmune, like with Hashimoto's, you might see an increased thyroid peroxidase antibodies, which can indicate the form of autoimmune disease. But the more specific antibody for the Graves itself is thyroid stimulating hormone receptor antibodies. So that's TSHR antibodies. And these antibodies stimulate the TSH receptors to ramp up thyroid production.
Fantastic. All right, so we've gone through this workup, but should we cover principles of management quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
With many conditions in medicine, one of the best ways to treat a condition is to stop the cause of it, if mm-hmm. you can.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where finding out, doing the investigations, finding out what exactly is causing the up thyroidism or down thyroidism is really important. If you've got a primary, you'll be addressing something different versus a secondary or tertiary.
Yeah. So for example, you could have a nodule that's producing a lot of thyroid hormone, might be a good idea to have surgery to get that taken out. Or even some patients will have half or even their whole thyroid taken out in some cases. Mm-hmm. Okay. So once you've looked at stopping the cause, if you can or you can't, doesn't matter. We're trying to replace the thyroid hormone or stop it from going out of control. So yep. We're doing the opposite of what the body's doing in this case. Yeah, no, okay. So essentially, if you have an overactive thyroid and there's nothing you can do to stop it from being overactive, you blast it with radiation or you use surgery to stop it working. Once it stops working, you still need thyroid hormone to function as a human being. And so we replace it from that.
Yeah, great. And then when you're looking at a hypothyroidism, so that's a down thyroid, you're trying to replace the thyroid hormone. So you just go in and give thyroid hormone pretty much.
Yeah. And the last thing there is sometimes you can give medications to treat the symptoms itself. So this is particularly the case with hyperthyroidism, where you might have tremor, you might have a fast heartbeat, and you can actually give patients beta blockers to treat those symptoms.
Yeah, great. All right. So that wraps up our segment on thyroid. Hope you guys learnt a thing or two.
Yeah.
And enjoyed our little recap of what's been going on. As always, thank you to our major sponsors, Megaperks and AMA, for your ongoing support. We'll see you next time for the next episode. Bye.